He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the Thursday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I've got Barry Kite here with me, our chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner, all the rest. Well, he'll have a lot to say. He's covering Jackson Hole from Charleston here today. We'll get to that in a moment. But right now, we're off to the races with the market. The Dow is up 114 points. Not bad. Puts it at 33,082. The NASDAQ is up 125. All of a sudden, the chip stocks, the semiconductor stocks, AMD in particular, starting to take off. And a pretty good action in the cloud, in the software stocks also. We've got the S&P 500 right now up 32 points. That's 0.8%. Not bad after that big spill on Monday. The markets have recovered pretty nicely from that. Crude oil is finally flat today. It's up 6 cents. But guess what? We're back to $95 per barrel. We got down to around 82. Be looking for higher prices at the gas pump in your travels as you look at the price of gas at your local stations. I got to believe it's going to be headed back up here real soon. Gold. Silver's up 9 cents per ounce. The 10-year is all the way up to 3.12. And that's what caused a lot of Monday's and last Friday's spill was that sudden jump in interest rates. And Bitcoin today, it's up 264, but it's clear down at $21,717 per coin. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, Barry, you can put on some videos of Jackson Hole and what it's like there. I've been there several times, and cover it for us, okay?
yeah, send me out there. It's I was watching some of them this morning with the backdrop while the sun was rising.
It's pretty,
there.
Yeah. Right behind those Teton Mountains in Idaho, separates Idaho and Wyoming. I know the area fairly well. We had a few kids that went to college in that area. Okay, well, yesterday we had a decent day in the market. The oil and gas stocks have been the stars of the week this week. Today we're getting a little bit of lift from the tech arena. Despite NVIDIA's miss, I would say, and kind of downward soft guidance, but it's come back. It was down 5 or 6% last night. And last time I looked, I think it's almost back to even, and AMD's having a really good day here today. So, pretty good day yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 50. I think the biggest story in recent days has been the big jump in the 10-year, all the way up to 3.11. And that's going to have an impact in a lot of areas, especially in the housing market with the home sales and home prices. Home prices beginning to drop finally, and definitely home sales have cooled off considerably from the red-hot pace they were at, back in June, the spring of this year, hitting new all-time highs in housing prices. Now a lot of people are just priced out of the market because of rising interest rates. And I think it's going to put pressure on the rental, the apartment. Maybe some of those apartment REITs are a good place to be right now. We had also oil moving up to $95 per barrel. You know, they it had a big spill. Oil was the place to be for the first, what, 6 months, 5 months of this year, energy of any kind, especially fossil fuels. And then all of a sudden, there was fear of a recession. You know, we had our second quarter of GDP down. That is the technical definition of recession, two down quarters in a row, and there was fear of a massive recession, global recession. Oil started to sell off on those worries, but then, you know, it's come right back. It's up to $95 per barrel once again. It looks like it's headed for 100 plus once again, and I think we're going to see high oil, high gasoline prices once again, and that's been lifting. We've been talking all week about the fossil fuel stocks, and especially the liquid natural gas. Another big thing about yesterday that kind of gave a lift to the market, Barry, was pending home sales. They slid for the second straight month in July, but less than forecasted, okay? Those are what? Homes on the market that, well, when you go through Zillow, it says pending sale.
Yep, and so the day, you know, I think the day before we had new home sales, and they were down considerably. And then we had pending home sales, which includes all homes, and they came in. You know, I think they were down 1%. It was expected to be down 3%, but then of course this morning we got the revised second revision for second quarter GDP. It was down 0.6%. So. Was down. His first reading was down 0.9%, and this one was down 0.6. So still a negative number there. I think on the good side, you've got initial jobless claims came in at 243,000. It's lower than expected, 2,000 less, I guess, than the last reading. So at least from that perspective, if we are in a we are in a recession, you don't have it's hard to have a deep recession if you've got people who people working, or at least those that want to work are able to find a job.
But. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and tomorrow, the bookies are queuing up the spreads for Jackson Hole, and investors are taking note. And of course, this year it takes on a little bit more significance because of the tight relationship between what the Fed does and almost the immediate impact it has on stocks and bonds and commodities. They're all really intertwined right now, more than I've seen in a long time. There's one camp that says that he will kind of signal for a slowing of the pace of increases. Instead of gaining 2 pounds a day, we'll only gain 1.5 pounds. No, he's had 275-point moves already. And Goldman Sachs says our expectations would be, barring significant data surprises, that the September move is 50. And they believe that he'll signal that tomorrow. And that's one of the reasons why we've had this summer rally, is in anticipation of them slowing. But others disagree with that. Kalanovich at J.P. Morgan, who's been very bearish and hawkish and everything else. I don't know how he gets up in the morning, but that's the way it is. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. They're a little bit more bearish. They don't expect him or Hawkins to tip his hand on the size of the next move, which will depend on upcoming releases. And we believe that he'll push back against the idea that a dovish policy pivot, listen for that word tomorrow, pivot, is coming soon. So that's what it's all about, really. I mean, that's what it all boils down to. When all is said and done, and all the meetings, and all the discussions, and all the interviews, it's what Powell says in his speech, and what they'll be listening for is any clue whatsoever as to a pivot from 75-point rate hikes to 50 basis point hikes, or maintaining the current pace. That's what it all boils down to. in simplest terms. Okay, the other big excitement is going to occur, the drama, the Twitter Musk, Elon Musk drama. And there's no resolution in sight right now. But now, when we come back, a third party steps forward, a whistleblower at Twitter, a famous hacker, Mudge Zatko, comes forward. And he's blaming Twitter for all kinds of things. What's this all about? More drama with Elon Musk? I can't imagine that. He's in the news every day. This is Bill Gunderson, and Barry Kite will be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The Dow is now up 95. It's just over 33,000. The 10-year's pulled back a little bit, 3.10, and the S&P's up 32. NASDAQ's up 129 right now. So you know what? I think the market will sell off tomorrow if he remains very hawkish in his speech, Jerome Powell. Barry, I think if he were to signal in any way that, hey, we've got to keep the foot on the accelerator with these rate hikes, I think you could see a 300, 400-point sell-off tomorrow. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I can, I kind of see him being hawkish, regardless. I feel like, if he does want to slow the pace a bit, I feel like he might not, might not quite tell us that per se. I think if he was going to raise faster, he certainly does a good job of signaling, going the other way. But in terms of markets, I mean, financial conditions have loosened a bit. I mean, just look at the risk assets, right? They're the old adage of don't fight the Fed's kind of the market doesn't look like it's paying attention to that that saying.
Oh.
And you get the PCE number, so they're the Fed's, kind of version that they like to look at in terms of the CPI comes out at 8:30 in the morning. He speaks at 10, so, in reality, I think that number, will give us a lot of indication of kind of how hawkish he's going to be in his discussion. So, but at the same time, he's said a lot already, right? I mean, he's been speaking. I don't really see the message changing too much.
No.
It's, I think the market may be getting a bit excited, and maybe it may let down.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, now, Elon Musk may get help in his quest to buy Twitter. I just think he wants a lower price. That's what I think. I think he wants it at the end of the day. Even though he says he's out, he's done. Of course, that's a tactic, I'm sure, a negotiating tactic. But here's the big news yesterday. The Twitter whistleblower. Okay, this is a well-known hacker that Twitter hired to be in charge of security at Twitter many years ago, Mudge Zatko. Okay, sounds like a guy just said, Mudge. We caught the Mudge, and we've got him in jail. And Mr. Zatko claims there were widespread security failures and foreign state actor interference at Twitter. I think that's definitely true. I think, I think China is heavily involved in Twitter. Twitter kind of forms opinions, and there's a lot of false information on Twitter. It's a pretty powerful platform.
Well, when China's used the, you know, used Baidu and internet, you know, the internet to their advantage, you know, for a long time in terms of keeping opinions, you know, out of the of society and you know, certainly weaving their own in.
Absolutely. If these claims are accurate, they may show dangerous data privacy and security risks for Twitter users around the world. I hope Musk is successful in getting Twitter and cleaning it up. I don't think we should be afraid of what we say on Twitter. You know, I just tweet out stuff, you know, observations I see on stocks and whatnot. I think we're all a little bit nervous of Twitter for being. I know a lot of people that have been deplatformed for little minor things, or you hear stories. Anyways, that's the Twitter story. But this guy's going to appear before Congress, and this could really strengthen Musk's hands in saying, you know what, you've created a mess. I want a lower price, or I want all out altogether. Okay, one of the deals that had to be made to get the climate change, the inflation busting bill across the finish line with Joe Manchin, was the Mountain Valley Pipeline, which has been held up. It's a pipeline that flows right through West Virginia. Their permit had run out or was running out and it was not going to be renewed. They're trying to finish the pipeline, but there's several miles of it that's in dispute. Well, guess what? Yesterday, FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, granted an additional 4 years for the Mountain Valley Pipeline, which would be a good thing. We can see the need for natural gas. We should be looking to Germany and Europe and saying, you know what? You don't want to mess with pipelines that provide this needed source of energy. It creates quite a problem when you don't have that source of energy. So anyways, I'm sure that was part of the negotiations that got Manchin across the finish line. He's got 4 more years, or the Mountain Valley Pipeline has 4 more years. This is ETRN, is the stock involved in this. And it's pretty much a vital pipeline if you live up in that northeast part of the woods there of the country to bring natural gas to you. All right, NVIDIA, the next biggest story. NVIDIA is probably one of the very best and a bellwether technology stock because of its dominating position in the semiconductor industry. Look at that. NVIDIA's turned positive now. We own NVIDIA. I mean, if you're going to have exposure to tech, in our opinion, a couple of the very best tech stocks are AMD and NVIDIA, both of them. And they produce wildly different products, believe it or not. I mean, NVIDIA is more in the game consoles. It allows these kids to play these high-powered graphics games with all kinds of action going on and taking place. NVIDIA is also linked a little bit to the Bitcoin mining and the power, the speed needed for mining those. And anywhere where you need speed and graphics, NVIDIA dominates that section of the world. AMD dominates more, you know, the personal computing world, which is also very important. They've taken away the dominant position that Intel once had a long time ago. NVIDIA has now turned positive. It's up 2.53%. It was down 5% last night. But apparently, you know, it's probably what the analysts are saying today, because NVIDIA finished what they were going to say last night. But the analysts are claiming there's a bunch of catalysts coming up for NVDA. So, you know, I was not really worried at all when I heard the report last night. Nor am I worried today, as, you know, the stock's a little bit on the controversial side. It's still a major player, and we still own and we still like NVDA. Okay, when we come back, there's a lot of companies in the news today. Peloton, Salesforce, Snowflake, California banning combustion cars. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, there's a lot of individual companies in the news today, like NVIDIA. And that gives us a good kind of glimpse into the health of the overall market, because generally you see trends. You see trends amongst the big department stores. You see trends amongst the chip stocks. You see trends amongst the online, just on and on and on and on and on. So that's why we pay so much attention to these individual companies that are in the news, because it gives us about the best look you can get inside of how the economy is going. So here's just a quick cross sample here of some stocks in the news. Peloton's in the news. It's never in the news in a good way. It was yesterday. It was, you know what, I think they knew the news that was coming out today.
It's given up everything that it yeah. gave yesterday.
Because yesterday they announced that, oh, we're going to sell Pelotons on Amazon, and it had a big day, and now today.
Yeah, now they find out that the market is saturated. So in other words, they might sell them on Amazon, but they might not sell any because everyone that wants one has one.
Yeah, and they did well during the pandemic. You know, that was a pandemic stock for sure. When you couldn't go to the gym, gyms were the really a no-no to have a gym open during that period of time. So people had to turn to things like Peloton and stuff.
Well, look at that chart. It looks like it's in a station. I mean, after, of course, it went downhill. But if you just make it year to date, or the last 3 months or so, it looks like a stationary bike.
It's at $10.90. It's down almost 20% today. It was at one time $171 per share. Abercrombie & Fitch in the news. Okay, well, that's teen retailer. This is back to school time. It's flat. It's not a very good stock at all anymore. It was at one time. Dollar Tree, that's kind of a bellwether stock, you know. It's not doing well. It's down 9.2%. 9.2%. It's getting hurt pretty bad. I was kind of looking at Dollar Tree when there was all that recession talk. I remember back in the last recession, 08 and 09, Dollar Tree did really well.
Yep.
Dollar General, Dollar Tree,
anything with dollar in the name of it, right?
Yep, and the pawn shops, they did really well.
I tell you an interesting report from yesterday you probably got on your list was Salesforce.
That's the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a bit concerning.
That's not a good one. And Salesforce is a member of the Dow. That's Marc Benioff, who is a noted globalist, one of the big attenders every year at Davos, Switzerland. Salesforce is down 6% today, or $11 per share. That's a lousy chart. That's a terrible chart on Salesforce. They give weak guidance. And some analysts are saying that may be the first shoe to drop in a software slowdown. And, there was also talk from NVIDIA that maybe there's a chip slowdown. But from what I see, the chip shortage persists and it hasn't gotten any better in the automotive industry. Okay, they're not able to make new combustion engine cars. I don't know if that's just a coincidence, an engineered shortage, because we got our story on California coming up here, or if there actually is a chip shortage out there because of the supply chain. Snowflake, on the other hand, pops. It's a big software company. Snowflake pops 20% today. I mean, it's going the opposite. It's a cloud stock. It's a big data storage, which is a big deal. And the data storage, data-related stocks are doing well. Okay, now here's the story on California, which looks to be, I mean, they pride themselves in being the leader, with issues like climate change, etc. They say they're going to pass. This is going to happen. Newsom is going to sign a bill, California is set to ban new gas car sales by 2035. Okay, so they're not going to come and you can still sell used cars, gas cars. But, you know, after that, you go to a new car lot, and I'm sure they're going to, you know, I'm sure a few years in advance of this, you're going to start seeing combustion engine vehicles disappear. Now, I don't know about work trucks. I don't know where what's in their definition of new gasoline cars, but they are way out in front of everybody else with this. It'd be quite a deal. Now, Trump, he overthrew a few draconian laws that they had on mileage and stuff like that. The federal standard was like, I don't know, 50, I think, and 35. California went way down below the federal standard. Or they went to 50, that's what it was. The federal standard was an average of 35. So the rules would focus on sales of new models, not used vehicles, and they'll have interim quotas along the way. In 2026, 35% of new passenger cars, SUVs, and small pickup trucks would have to be zero-emission vehicles. By 2028, 51%. By 2030, 68%. And 100% by 2035. So that's where California... So if you own a big auto dealership in California... I had a client that owned a big Cadillac dealership in Southern California. And, what's he going to do? I don't know. That's going to be a big thing in California out in front on zero emissions. In the meantime, okay, not too far from California, Texas is blacklisting BlackRock and other financial firms for boycotting oil and gas. You know, will someday Texas be a country of its own and California a country of its own? The difference between those two states is like night and day. But, you know, a lot of this with this ESG investing, obviously, Chevron and some of these Permian Basin companies, the Halliburtons of the world and Schlumbergers. They boycott. You can't buy those companies. In a lot of the pension funds, they won't do business with them. A BlackRock. So Texas retaliates by blacklisting BlackRock. Okay, so there we go. The ESG movement.
They put them on the anti-ESG list.
Yes, the ESG movement has produced an opaque and perverse system in which some financial companies no longer make decisions in the best interest of their shareholders. This is what Texas says, but instead use their financial clout to push a social and political agenda shrouded in secrecy. All right. Okay, now, here's another LNG player. You know, in this stock continues to, I remember Shell. I don't know whatever happened to Shell Oil. I mean, obviously, we still have Shell Oil gas stations. But they were a different symbol or something back then. Now it's SHEL, and it's headquartered somewhere in Europe. They just signed a big deal with Energy Transfer, which I got to believe is probably in Texas. ET is the symbol. Phone home. It's in Dallas, Texas. Guess what they're going to produce? LNG, liquid natural gas. Shell signs a 20-year liquid natural gas supply deal from Louisiana Project. You know, this whole controversy was really raging when Trump was in office. You know, he told Germany, why are you getting your liquid natural gas from Putin? It's going to be a problem down the line. And he was saying, we'll give you all the liquid natural gas and natural gas you want here from America. So this is where this is all headed. And now I guess we're finding out that Putin's gas was not as reliable as they thought. And then here's the other weird story of the day. Amazon just bought a telehealth stock, okay, like a week ago. And now they're getting out of the telehealth service entirely.
No, really?
Isn't that weird?
That story, yeah. I'll have to check that one out.
I can't imagine them getting out of anything. I mean, they're getting into everything. But telehealth, they're going to use Teladoc. They're going to partner with Teladoc, and Teladoc's having a pretty good day. But they don't want to be a direct healthcare provider. All right. When we come back, a lot of stocks popping today. This is the Best Stocks Now show.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Back here to the final segment of today's The Best Stocks Now show. We're having one of our best days of the year so far today. And it's a combination of things. There's a surprising strength after NVIDIA's report last night in the semiconductor stocks. In fact, the SOXL, which is three times the semiconductor index, is popping 9% today, which tells me that the chip sector, the semiconductor sector, must be up about 3% overall today. And I would say the leading chip stock today, look at the move in AMD today, which is one of our largest holdings in the growth Premier large cap growth portfolio. It's a $157 billion company. AMD is up 5% today. So, you know, that helps a lot when one of your largest positions at your firm is having a plus 5% day.
And still only a 21 forward PE ratio. So it's still, I mean, valuation standpoint, it still looks attractive.
We've been saying that for a long time, and as of today, AMD, 21 times forward earnings. The growth rate over the next 5 years is expected to be 27% per year, meaning the PEG ratio, which is the forward PE of 21 divided into the growth rate of 27, the PEG ratio is 0.79. Less than one.
Yeah, so anything less than one is attractive, yeah, especially in a tech bellwether.
Yeah, that is growth, what we call GARP, growth at a reasonable price. And it pays a little tiny dividend yield of just under 1%. AMD, where is it currently ranked? It's got an A-plus value grade, momentum grade B-minus, performance grade of A. 302 out of 6,063. 1 week ago, it was number 33. Yesterday, it was number 35. It dipped a little bit down to 302, but it's been, a premier stock, a best stock now for quite some time. There's another chip stock that we own that's a smaller player, but it's having a monster day. We own it in the emerging growth portfolio. It's only a $2.7 billion company compared to, $150 billion for AMD. Axcelis. A-C-L-S. We've owned that for a while. It's out of Massachusetts. The Boston area, where there's a little bit of activity in the semiconductor industry, they are more in the equipment side of things. That stock's up 13.7%. There must be news on it. I haven't had a chance to look into it individually as a stock, but it's nine times normal volume. Nine times normal volume this early in the morning. Something's going on. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. But it's up 13.5%, so that's also, we own that in the emerging growth. Okay, and then the other, I'll just, power, energy, from every direction. It continues to be a big, I've been watching the lithium stocks break out here recently. The battery stocks have been breaking out here recently. And I think one that's getting more and more acceptance and more uses for seems to be hydrogen.
Oh, it is. Yeah, that Plug Power had that story come out today with their, I think Amazon had a big purchase of, talking about Amazon again, had a big purchase of liquid hydrogen, I believe, correct?
Yeah, and now I personally own a little Plug Power because it was the number one ranked stock earlier this year for a long time. And I was a little nervous. It's number one today. It's the number one ranked stock in the entire database of 6,063 that I created with my proprietary ranking system, Plug, which I've been watching since, well, for 20 years I've been watching. It was pie in the sky for many years. The automobile companies looked at it very heavily. Ford invested heavily in fuel cell energy, FCEL, which Elon Musk calls fuel cell energy. But they seem to be coming up with a lot of uses for it. Now, I thought that hydrogen would have come from water, separate the oxygen from the hydrogen. But apparently, 95% of the hydrogen that we're using for fuel comes from natural gas. We're back to that fossil fuel, natural gas. So anyways, Plug is having a big day today, breaking out. That's a $17 billion company. It just seems to be coming more and more mainstream. And then I saw one other story. I'm trying to think who it was. One of the countries around the world, or was it a state? Has got a bunch of nuclear power plants. I think it was a country. Maybe it was,
I think it was
India.
France. Was it? Oh, huh? Okay. I thought I saw something go by the ticker on about French nuclear power, but maybe,
I think it was a different country. And yesterday there was a huge jump in the uranium stocks. And that small nuclear power plant player, SMR, I want to say, they make small, miniature power plants, nuclear generated. So nuclear is also becoming more and more mainstream. The no nukes people have finally hung it up. Jackson Brown's getting old, you know, and Bruce Springsteen, and nukes are now. Oh, it was Japan. No, it was Japan. They reversed, you know, after that big disaster they had.
Right, the Fukushima or something.
Yeah,
like
they reverse and no more nuclear power plants. Well, they reverse and they're going to start building them again. So that's why the big move in uranium yesterday. Okay, you want to stay on top of the news, the best news now, cutting edge out there. I mean, hot off the griddle every single day, Best Stocks Now show. How can you miss it? We have people that write to me. I never miss your show. I listen to it. You know, so anyways, we have a good time doing it. Put us to work for you. We're out there doing research every day looking for the best. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Get the newsletter this weekend. All of this stuff's going to be in there, all these names we've discussed. GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm.
All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.